Welcome to Victory Baptist Church live stream this morning. I hope that you had gone ahead and logged on for the Bible Hour. It was really great with special singing for the boys and girls as well as the adults, and Sandra Jo's lesson, John's lesson for the teens, and then my lesson. I hope that it was a blessing to you and something to pull your family together on a Sunday morning to start your worship. And then, of course, as we're getting ready to come into the worship hour, I want to open it up with a word of prayer. I want to tell you I'm praying for you. We are here to minister to you in any way that we can. As you know, our preschool kindergarten is ministering to the essential workers that were part of the ARC before the shutdown. And then tomorrow morning, we are going to be set up, in fact, it's already set up in the fellowship hall, a small food shelf. If your family has not had a paycheck, you are short of funds, you need some groceries, please call the church, set it up, come by. Brother John is kind of oversee putting together a bag of groceries. We're talking about how to make that happen the most fluid and the least contact way. We talked about having you call, and then he'll give you maybe a sheet. You can check off the things you want. He'll put them in a bag. But we're working on that. We're going to have it all in place for Monday morning. Give us a call. Come by. Let's see if we can't help you. We definitely do not want any of the folks in our church to be short of groceries, to be running close, to be afraid. We want to minister to you in any way that we can. So let's open up this morning with a word of prayer and ask God to be with us in our homes, wherever we are. But we are a church. We are the Victory Baptist Church family, and I'm so glad that you are live streaming with us this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come before you and know that you hear our prayers, that you're touched by our infirmities, our fears, our concerns. Certainly, Lord, whether it be the senior citizens in our church all the way down to the smallest children, we want you to speak to hearts and minister to souls. And we know, Lord, that this is a great time for people to take some extra time, shut off the noise of the world, and tune into you as a family, as individuals. And I just pray that you'd be with us this morning as we look into your word and as you speak to us through your Holy Spirit. We look for you to do the work that only you can do. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So I know that John and Ashley are getting ready to lead you in a couple songs. I will sing The Wondrous Story and In Christ Alone. Ashley is working in the office as well as helping Rachel down in the preschool with the essential workers children. So we're glad that she's able to pop up here in the sanctuary and take a few minutes to work with John on some music. A lot of this we're kind of putting together ahead of time, practicing social distancing, making sure that we're not in a group, but putting it together so that it can minister to you on a Sunday morning. So we're going to turn it right over to them for them to lead you in some singing.
I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died.
appreciate you, John and Ashley, for that music. That was a blessing. And then also, just as far as announcements go, I want to remind you that on Wednesday nights, we are live streaming our prayer and Bible study. And if you will call the office or email the office, we would be glad to add your prayer requests. And certainly this week, we got some pretty serious prayer requests in. We sent some of them out by the one call now, some of them by email. Because we have multiple streams of prayer request venues. Some people have asked, please only send it via the email prayer chain. And so we'll send it out that way. And sometimes they really want it to go out in a much broader way, and it's more urgent, and we send it out by a phone call. And I'm making those calls myself because I want you to know your pastor is engaged. I'm concerned for you. I'm reaching out to you. So if you would like us to send out those prayer requests and to include those on the Wednesday night prayer list, please reach out to us so that we can do that. I've already mentioned to you about the food shop on Monday and also the essential workers. If you are an essential worker and you're having a hard time finding childcare and you're part of Victory Baptist Church, please call us. Let's see if we can't plug you in with Rachel and Ashley down there Monday through Friday. I think they're going 7:30 to 5, so it's quite a range to cover that and to make sure those folks can get to their jobs. Okay, John and Ashley have a couple more songs for you. I Sing the Mighty Power and Grace Alone.
I sing the wisdom that ordained the
Brother John. Did a good job. Thank you very much. And don't forget, if you want to contribute to the church, you can certainly do that online on our church website. This week, I received actually a number of envelopes in the mail, people sending in their tithes and offerings. And for sure, I want you to know that is appreciated. We are continuing the salaries of all our employees to keep them working, serving, and ministering. And we're very grateful for those who want to support that and keep that going. So at this time, what I'm going to do is take us to the Word of God. I'm going to take you to our message this morning. I'm going to bring you to the book of Acts, chapter 4. And the title of our message this morning is, In the Face of Threatening Times. In the Face of Threatening Times. You and I as individuals, you and I as a church, our community, a nation, we are in threatening times, scary times, as folks talk about the coronavirus, the COVID-19. Without a doubt, I talk to people every day who are very concerned, and I watch the news just like you do. And so in these threatening times, how do we face that? So I want to take us to the book of Acts. And here we find the early church also facing threatening times. Not a virus, not an illness, but a spiritual darkness, a spiritual battle that we can draw from them some great lessons. So listen as I read to you. I'm going to actually read to you a block of scripture, Acts chapter 4, verses 13 down through 30. But my real text is going to be verses 23 down through 30. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. When we look in this text, and we look at it from the perspective of facing these threatening times that we're living in, we look back in time to the threatening times they were living in. And the first thing I want you to see is that they were all together in this. Look with me at verses 23 and 24. As I mentioned to you, we're going to look at 23 down through 30. That's our main text. We're going to start with verse 23. It says, in being let go, they went to their own company. So we find the apostles, here they were, Peter and John, preaching the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've done an incredible miracle. A 40-year-old man healed. The whole community is stirred by this. But the leaders, the religious leaders in the community, they were upset by this. They didn't want the name of Jesus to go forth as a powerful name indicating that he is the Christ, the Messiah. So what did they do? They brought in the apostles and they said to Peter and John, no longer can you preach in the name of Jesus. Of course, they responded by saying, who are we going to obey, man or God? Of course, they're going to obey God. So they were released with threatenings of their very life, danger on every corner. And it tells us, what did they do in this time of danger? What did they do in this time of threatening? They reached out to their own, it says in the first part of verse 23. Being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. So when we look at that, we understand they went to be with one another. Not necessarily always physically, but sometimes we go to one another by some other means. Maybe we reach out to them. We do it by text or by phone or by email, maybe through Facebook. We reach out to our brothers and sisters in Christ just like these apostles did. And they're reaching out to their own company. Why? Because they want comfort. They want camaraderie. They want to rally around each other and support each other during these threatening times. And you and I, absolutely, we need to draw to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to not forget them because we're not seeing them on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. While we're not seeing them, we need to continue to reach out to them, encourage them. Let them encourage you. As we look down in here, I want to quote to you James chapter 1, verse 19. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. It's interesting when you look in this verse, verse 23, it says, in being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard, it says in verse 24, in other words, they listened. They listened to each other's concerns and fears concerning what these religious leaders had said with all their threatenings. So when we look at that, we understand every one of us needs to take time to listen. And of course, that's what James is saying there in verse 119 when he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Each of us needs to be swift to hear. Listen to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen to others who are facing threatening times. They just may need to talk about it. So here we find that Peter and John, they came to their company and they spoke about it and they listened. But then when you look at the second part of verse 24, it tells us that they prayed. It says, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They prayed together as a group, as a church, you and I today, Victory Baptist Church, wherever you are this morning, we need to be in prayer one with another. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You and I need to be, just even as these early apostles were, and their church brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be prayer warriors, sharing the burdens and fears that are on our heart, that we may lift them up to God together. That's part of facing threatening times. In fact, when you come down in verse 24, a little bit farther, look at what it goes on to say. I'm going to read the whole verse to you. It says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all them that is. So we find that they had confidence in their Lord, didn't they? They lifted up their hearts, they prayed to the Lord, and they looked to him with confidence as the Creator God. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy, confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that confidence in the Word of God? Do you hear him talking about that he is being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in us shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? Listen, the Lord is there with you. Be confident in your prayer life. Be confident in your daily devotions. You know, we passed out just before we all were put into this separation time, this social separation. We passed out our daily devotionals. Make sure you're taking some time. Do your daily devotion. Spend some time in the Word of God. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time reaching out to others and encouraging them. That's what the early church did when they were faced with threatening times. They were all together in this, just as you and I are all together in this. No matter what your circumstance is, remember, there are others around you going through the same battle. Reach out, touch base, encourage them, let them encourage you. But let's go a little farther down in our text. I want you to look back with me in Acts chapter 4. As we continue down into verses 25 and on down, I want you to see that nothing takes the Lord by surprise. Listen to what is said here. I'm going to pick it back up in verse 23 again. It says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. So I want you to notice they're in prayer, aren't they? Which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who, by the mouth of thy servant David, has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. So you notice that in their prayer, they're talking to the Lord and they're talking to him about David prophesying about the very events that took place concerning the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in their prayer, they're saying to Lord, we know that nothing happens without you being a part of it. Nothing takes you by surprise. In fact, they quote David here, and we come down into verse 28. It says, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. It's interesting that they know that the Lord has seen, known, prophesied, and fulfills his will. Each of us in our lives, just as is quoted here concerning King David as he penned these words in Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, so also in our lives does the Lord see and know what is going on. There's nothing happening that is taking him by surprise. Your faith in him is strong. You can be confident in him and know nothing has taken him by surprise. What happened over there in China and that spread throughout that Southeast Asia and then over into Europe and then over here into the United States doesn't take God by surprise. Neither is the circumstances of seeing our businesses shut down and all of that. That does not take God by surprise. Is he going to walk through this valley with us? Absolutely. Just as these early Christians, just as Peter and John faced these threatening times with the Lord, so you and I face them with the Lord as well. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." You know, the Bible, it gives us the benefit of the doubt. It says, haven't you heard? Don't you know? And of course, you and I as Christians, we say, well, of course I've heard. Of course I know that my Lord is the Creator God. He is all powerful. Right to the very ends of the earth, he faints not and he never grows weary. That's what we're told in Isaiah 40, 28. And it's interesting, he ends that verse by saying, there is no searching of his understanding. In other words, there's not a question in what God knows. He knows everything. He knows everything about everything. In your life, in my life, in the way the universe works, even about how to address this COVID-19. He knows where there is just the right medication, the right drug. He knows, maybe it's an old drug as they're talking about concerning this drug they've used for 70 years for malaria. Who knows? Is that the answer? God knows. He's not going to grow weary. He's not going to grow tired. He's not going to faint. He's going to continue to do his work as we seek to know him. The third thing I want you to see, just as the apostles saw, not only did they know they needed to pull together, not only did they need to remember and understand that nothing takes God by surprise, but also we find that they found a strategy of defense against these threatening times. You and I need a strategy, don't we? We need to know how to face these threatening times. Look with me down, if you would, at verse 29 and 30. It says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." What we find is the apostles, even though they were faced with threatening times, they knew that it wasn't a matter of them pulling up a sword and going into battle. They knew that the real answer, the real strategy, was a spiritual strategy. They needed to find confidence and strength within themselves to face whatever it was that was going to come. When you look at the very first part of verse 9, it says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." These apostles, they stood back and the church stood back and said, "Lord, we just need you to take note." We know he does, but he wants to hear us humble ourselves before him. Whatever it is that's going in your life, you want to bring it before God in prayer just as they did. It's part of the strategy of facing threatening times, is to just come to the Lord and say, "Lord, you can see and you know." He wants us to bring it to him. When we come down a little farther in verse 29, listen, it says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." You see, you and I, we need boldness when it comes to the things of God. Life might try to beat us down, and it might try to discourage us. It might try to hold us back. And there might be people all around us who mock and ridicule our faith. But you and I have to be bold. We can't allow the things of the devil, the things of this world, the circumstances that come our way, we can't allow those to crush us and defeat us. We have to be bold. So we ask God, "God, give us the boldness that we need." When you come down to the last verse in verse 30, when we look at this spiritual defense, this strategy of dealing with threatening times, look at verse 30 with me. "By stretching forth thine hand," they're asking God, "God, we need you to stretch forth thine hand to to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. So we find that this spiritual defense, this strategy of facing threatening times, is reaching out to God and asking God to give to us boldness, to bring to us healing. And you and I need to pray for healing. We need to pray for God to touch lives around the world and bring a healing from this. Not just this, so many things. Diane Lepore called just yesterday, actually it was her husband who called to say that Diane had been diagnosed with breast cancer. You see, we need to pray for her healing. Each of us face in our lives some very serious threatenings. And our strategy is to go to the Lord and ask the Lord to help us in dealing with each and every one of them, to bring healing in our lives. It's interesting, in the last part of verse 30, listen to what they say. I'm going to read the whole verse to you, but I want you to listen to the last half. By stretching forth thine hand, the Lord stretching forth his hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. You know, we live in a time when so many people have walked away from faith. I was just reading the demographics of Vermont this week because I was just doing some number crunching, looking at things and preparing for this morning. And as I was reading through the demographics for Vermont, it said that 24%, basically one quarter of the entire state of Vermont, they say that they are of no faith. They have no faith. That's a very sad thing. You see, they need to see the miracles and wonders of the Lord. They need to see God at work. They're so focused on themselves that they can't see the creator of themselves. They can't see God. You and I, we need to go to the Lord in prayer. Our strategy needs to be, Lord, show them. Knock on their door. Help them to see you at work. You know, these kind of things the Bible has prophesied throughout all time would sweep through the world. And oftentimes these are the kind of things that finally get people to step back and say, wow, I guess I'm not my own God. Because we are frail. We are weak. Look at how fast this brought our world to its knees. It's time our world looks past themselves and looks back to God. These apostles in this church, in this day and age of threatening in Acts chapter 4, what they did was they asked God, Lord, we need your healing. We need your strength. Lord, we need you to do miracles and wonders that people might see the power of Christ. I want you to turn with me in closing over to Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm going to read to you a few verses here. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to read to you verses 29 down through 31. And listen to what this has to say about our God. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 down through 31. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, this text is not telling us that those who are believers will never grow old, will never get sick, will never be tired. He's talking to you and I about our inner strength. He's saying, listen, if we will but wait on the Lord, he will renew our strength. You and I shall mount up with wings as eagles, and we shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. He will give us might and strength to face threatening times. This morning, if you are watching this service and you've never received Christ as your Savior, there's no greater wonder and miracle than the fact that God left heaven above, born of a virgin, that he might live and then die for your sins and mine. Today, turn from your sins. Turn from yourself. Humble yourself to God. Tell him, yes, I am a sinner. I'm not my own God. I'm a weak and frail human being. I am a sinner. And I call upon you as the Savior and ask you to give me eternal life. Develop a relationship with Christ and God. Develop a relationship to where he can strengthen you, even in the face of threatening times. You and I as a church family, we are going to make it through this time. We had a strong and vibrant church before we went into this. And when we come out of this, we will regather, re-comfort, pray with, minister to each other, and we will be a strong church again. Let Christ have the victory. Don't let the circumstances beat you down. Most importantly, make sure you've got your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that there's nothing that takes you by surprise. Lord, we thank you that you offer to us strength and renewal. I pray that you would help us to use this spiritual defense in the face of these threatening times. Help us to pull together, to pray one with another, encourage one another. For Lord, truly, we rest and trust in you. Not our government, not our medical professionals. Lord, we know that all of those things can fail. We rest and trust in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.